Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast, episode 159. I'm your host, Rich Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. I feel like we've been very, very busy, boys.
Yeah, lots of scrolling on our phones. Loads of... Your thumb is getting so strong and ripped. You've got a very ripped thumb. I wouldn't...
Thanks.
People may not say first things when they think of Rick Shields go shredded, but thumb, right thumb, is as lean as anything.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I've been a little bit under the weather this weekend. Not been feeling too well. And I think it was because we had a mammoth week of filming last week up in Scotland, where I still... somewhat feel cold thinking about it. We managed to get three break 75s in the bank. One on the way up to Scotland, not quite in Scotland. And then two, while we're in the wonderful home place of golf, we managed to film two more. Plus, we did range night.
Yes.
At St. Andrews.
We did. Well, for those people that are keen on the Break 75s, and thankfully many people listening and watching this are, your most recent one, and small spoiler alert, if you've not watched it, you played the Mia.
Oh, yes.
For a little bit of a easing yourself back in. It was like a really kind of hot bath, and you just dipped your toe in just to try and get ready, and it scalded you.
It was supposed to be a nice little confidence booster. I've been working hard on my game over the last few weeks, hitting way more balls than I would do ever before. Ever. Been having a few lessons with Dan Whittaker, trying to get my game in shape. You've seen the vlogs. And I thought, right, you know what? Let's go for a nice, easy one. If there was anywhere on Earth, planet Earth, I'd feel pretty confident breaking 75. It's around Mia, where I've played hundreds of times.
Yeah.
In every break 75 we've done there, I've shot under par or level par. So I thought, oh, this can be a piece of cake. How golf can be a cruel mistress.
What did you shoot?
Like, bloody 200 over.
200 over? I thought it was 99 over.
No, I shot 9 over, but I actually lost 8 shots in 3 holes. So I went, started double-double, thanks for coming, and then made an 8 on the 13th, the quadruple. But apart from that, it wasn't too bad.
Well, yes, but like you said, that was you kind of just dipping your toe back in, getting used to it again.
That feels like a distant memory now.
It does.
Because... the three break 75s that are coming out next few weeks are Friday, 4 p.m. Do not miss it. Make sure you like and subscribe. There's some crackers.
Can we talk about the golf clubs? Because I think we can give it. Obviously, we can't give away the scores, but I think we should tell people the golf courses and their experiences, because they were elite golf courses.
So the first one, last Monday, we went up and we were travelling up to Scotland for the range night, which was happening Tuesday evening last week. And on Monday, on the journey up, we said, well, let's go and play a break 75 somewhere. The audience are loving it,
yeah.
Okay? They've got to watch something through December. I've obviously got to try and get my game in shape. I've got to get back on that horse, okay? Well, did I jump on a horse?
It bolted.
And it was a wild one. We went over to the west coast of England, to just outside Carlisle, to Silloth-on-Solway.
What I would say, before we come onto the golf course, it was a bit of a strange place. I think it was, you said near Carlisle, it was like 40 minutes away from Carlisle, yeah. Completely tucked on the coast. Kind of like a seaside town, not much going on, but it was a Monday,
yes.
Like, what time, 8 o'clock, so it was obviously quite quiet. But it felt like we'd almost gone back in time a little bit. But I liked it. It was a nice place. But the golf course was good.
This Was it ranked 18th best golf course in the UK? Have I just made that up?
That might have been made up, or but 18th, it is high up.
I'll tell you what it is. It's 18th in England.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it is.
And it's in this, like Guy said, this really, really sleepy little town of Silloth, which, if I'm honest, hardly anything looked open. I'm sure it's a beautiful town in the middle of summer, but at the end of November, you go in there and you think, what the hell? Like, what is going on here? The golf course, though, was pretty spectacular. Played with Tom, the assistant pro there, Lefty. He featured a little bit in the video because he guided us around. I actually want to go back there. I really want to go back there in the summer and just really enjoy the views, because we got on a bit of a dark, miserable day.
Yeah.
And I think the views, he was saying you can see the Isle of Man, you can see the tip of Scotland where it kind of comes down. Yeah, I'd love to play it. So that was the first location.
Well, just on that, that's the pro and the con with links courses. The massive pro this time of year is you are going and you get dry fairways, immaculate greens.
You can still wear white golf shoes.
Absolutely, and they won't get dirty. However, the only downside is the feels that there's such a contrast between, if it's a nice day, it's just glorious. If it's a bit gloomy and windy, it's an absolute slog. We were kind of a bit more in the gloom territory, weren't we?
Yeah, it was. Wasn't the finest of days. It was. We got a little bit of rain. It was cold.
That put your game to a test. A true test of golf.
I went from a confidence boosting round of golf at Mia to being then thrown into, like I described, as a bolting horse at Silloth.
Yeah,
Baltic horse. Nice. Thanks. At Silloth. So yeah, that video is going to be coming out this Friday. Enjoy it.
What time?
4 o'clock Friday.
Nice.
You know where to be. You know what you're doing.
Talk to me about the ideal way of watching Break 75 at 4 p.m. on a Friday. What would be the perfect vibe for you? If you're a fan of Rick Shields, you're called Martin Jones, right? You get to finish off Friday at 2 o'clock, right? Early. Yeah. Wife's in work till 5.
Yeah.
Kids are with the grandparents.
Yeah.
Vibe me.
Did you say I finish early then?
You finish at 2.
Yeah.
Martin Jones.
So Jonesy,
as
he's called by his mates,
yeah,
walking away from work, and everyone's saying, "See you, Jonesy, have a good weekend," because he's like, he's one of the lads.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? They're all going, "Jonesy, have a great weekend, what are you up to?" And he's like, "A little bit of this, a little bit of that." He keeps it mysterious.
Nice.
Okay.
Intriguing.
The truth is, he's got nothing on, but he doesn't want his work colleagues to know that. He jumped in his convertible.
Convertible?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Little Mazda convertible, and he even regardless of the weather, Friday, he drops the hood.
Okay.
Every time. The roof is off. Okay. Shades are on. And he puts a little bit of Elton John on.
Elton John?
Yeah, don't ask why. And Jonesy, he only lives 15 minutes away from work, legally bombs it home.
Okay.
Legally. Bombs it home.
He had a couple of small brushes with the law before?
He might have had his fingerprints taken a few times.
Yeah.
Okay. He sometimes gets dragged into things that he didn't want to be in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? On the way bolting home, he stops by the local news agents.
Okay.
And next door to that is a chippy, right? And he knows he's got a little sneaky window here, because his wife's got his tea on, normally on the table at 5:30, mm-hmm. okay? But Jones is going to get home at 2:20, mm-hmm. okay? He can have a little chip balm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Easy. Chip balm from the chippy next door, grab some beers, okay?
What beers?
Jonesy reminds me of the guy.
Volcan Stella.
I was going to go with Skull.
Oh.
For our American viewers, listeners, maybe not the finest tasting beer in the world.
4 cans of pint-sized Stella. I'll see you at that.
And they're on bargain.
Yeah.
Okay. But buy 4 cans for the price of 3.
He also buys a scratch card. You never know your luck.
Number 7 every time. Gets home 2:20, and he's chilling. He's relaxing. He's had a quick shower. He's done a few errands around the house just to keep her happy. he's already cracked open one of the Stellas, and he's itching for 4 o'clock. Now this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
At 3:20, just to get him really into the juices, he watches last week's episode again.
Oh, wow, he is hardcore.
He goes and watches Break 75 from the last week, just to get into the right emotional standpoint.
Also, he's not subscribed. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Not on the TV.
No, not on the TV.
No, he's on his iPad.
But not on the TV.
Not on the TV. Yeah. And he watches everything.
Does he have
TV.
An iPad with a big flappy cover?
Obviously. So he watches last week's episode,
yeah.
Loves it. You know, he's laughing to himself. He's crying at some parts because it is an emotional roller coaster.
I feel like he prefers episodes where I'm not in it. He doesn't like me, let's be honest.
He has said that a few times in comments.
Yeah, he has.
Jonesy thinks he can do a better job than you.
He wants it to be you and Pete, not you and me. Doesn't he?
He does. Oh, good old Jonesy. Anyway, 4 o'clock comes round, or 5 to 4, and he's thinking, oh my, this is it. This is the big moment. Where's it going to be this week? Mm. Where's it going to be? I've not listened to the podcast.
Is it going to be Pine Valley?
I don't listen to him. Because I don't know where it's going to be. Is it going to be somewhere I know? Is it going to be local? I live in Silloth.
Yeah.
I actually pictured Jonesy living in Silloth.
Yeah.
I live in Silloth, and he'll never come here. There's no way Rick Shields will come here. 4 o'clock switches on. The music, the dramatic start, the me. Hi, guys, welcome down to Break 75. Today I'm at Silloth on Solway. And Jonesy's can just shoots up in the air.
Yeah.
His third one.
Yeah.
He's tipping by now. He's like, oh, my God, he's here. He's in my hometown.
And it's just one small singular tear just comes down. Just rolls down his cheek.
And at that point, he shuts all the curtains. He puts on pause because he couldn't wait to find out where it was before he shuts the curtains.
And he unzips his trousers.
Shuts all the curtains. This is his time now. Turns the phone off and he's just engrossed. Every shot he feels, every breath of wind he can feel against his skin.
Yeah.
He sometimes, if it's windy, he'll put a fan on by the side of his chair.
Really get
to
it.
To reenact. Yeah. If it's raining, he like drizzles water on his head just to get into the right sensation. If it's raining, he puts his full waterproof outfit on.
Yeah.
And he sits there with a 7-iron in his hand and a couple of Pro V1s, just living thoroughly through the Break 75 episode.
And then he gets 60 seconds in, he sees that I'm on it and goes, this, I'm not watching this anymore.
Whoa. he watches it regardless because he loves it so much. So
great.
That's Jonesy. Jonesy, thanks for watching and listening.
You know what's mad? I wonder, because thankfully we have a lot of people listening to this and watching this. I wonder if just down to like sheer scale, there's actually a guy called Martin Jett listening, thinking, what the hell's going on here? He finished it too. He's got a Mazda MX-5 59 plate.
Loves the chip butter and the Stella.
Yeah, he's thinking, oh my God. Martin, so, if you're listening, please email us, podcast@rickshields.com.
I'd love that. That'd be the best.
It will be a Martin Jones.
We did Silloth, and then on route to Scotland, I headed up to Scotland, you headed home, because you had something to do of that evening. And then on Tuesday morning, woke up and played at, I might even say, and this is bold, one of my favourite courses ever.
I've got mixed feelings about this.
I've got very mixed feelings
about this, because it was me that put Crail on your radar. You'd heard of it, I think, but I suggested playing Crail, okay? You said, let's have a look at it. You looked at it and went, yeah, this looks good. You booked it. And as you say, and rightly so, I couldn't make it, so I couldn't play. You brought in a better guest than me, let's be honest, in Iona Stephen, who everyone knows off Sky Sports, who only 2 days before playing golf with you, she was interviewing John Rahm and Rory McIlroy in Dubai. And she then rocks up with you, plays, won't ruin it, phenomenal golf.
Phenomenal.
Better golf than I can play, and let's be honest, better golf than you can play.
Yeah, she was phenomenal.
She's charismatic on camera. She's probably a bit better looking than I am.
I think everything she brings.
She's got a better car than me.
I think she outdoes both of us in every category.
Yeah. Well, she outdoes you, but I'm on about me. but yeah, so I didn't play, unfortunately. I joined you for the back nine and walked around, and what a golf course that is. The scenery, it's on the coast. We might maybe put a few sneaky images on. If you're listening to the podcast, watch the video version of the podcast. We might put a little sneak peek on there. Sorry, Matt. But what a place.
Honestly, ridiculous. There's two golf courses there, and we were very, very lucky. In the winter, they actually shut one of the golf courses down, and Roy, the head pro, the general manager,
heard Iona was going, so opened it up.
Opened the other golf course up and allowed us to go and film, so we had no one out there, and it was honestly... David Roy. It was absolutely just heaven on earth.
The weather,
the scenery, me and Iona played some... very, 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 very good golf, which you're going to see. That'll be out, not this Friday, the Friday after. Just epic, absolutely epic. And you obviously caught us up on the back nine.
Oh,
and you got to glimpse some of it. And again, one of those ones, I feel like playing it in a summer's evening next year would just be quite literally perfect.
I think what's mad, obviously a lot of people watching and listening may have been fortunate enough to go to Scotland and play golf, and many won't, just because obviously you might live a long way away, you might be in America, whatever. There's obviously so many almost household name golf courses in Scotland, i.e. the Old Course, your Carnoustie's, your Troon's, etc., which obviously goes without saying are all incredible venues. But some of these kind of lesser-known golf courses are absolutely insane.
It's the seventh oldest golf course in the world. And to top that off, it's So we did range night.
Yes.
We'll chat about that very quickly. I'll tell you what, we'll chat about that after we talk about the last golf course that we played. So so we did range night Tuesday. Wednesday, it was a horrible, horrible day.
It was a true test of links golf.
Like a proper classic Scottish day. And we decided we needed to crack on one more break 75 while we're up there. It'd be a waste if we didn't. And we managed to get onto the golf course. It's the third oldest golf course in the world. Just only behind St. Andrews and Musselburgh. Ely Golf Club. It's not far from Crail. Somewhat similar kind of styling, the golf course, right up against the east coast of Scotland, 20 minutes away from St. Andrews. On a calm, flat, quiet day, could be very, very gettable, that golf course.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a par 70. There's no par 5s. There's 16 par 4s and 2 par 3s. But we did not get it on a calm day. Not even a little bit. It was unbelievably unique. Had a really cool kind of quirkness to it. In the little starters hut, which we show in the video, there's actually a periscope, which I'm sure they bought from like a naval... a boat or submarine, and you can actually have a look over the hill on the first because it's a blind tee shot. It just had so much character, and it was, again, an amazing, amazing golf course.
Well, it was insane. I'm on top 100 golf courses, and in Scotland, it rates Crail as number 61 and Ely as 33, which but what's also hard is the weather does affect you. Like, the weather at Crail was still not brilliant, but much, much, much nicer. Ely was an absolute slog. So it doesn't feel quite even though you're enjoying yourself, not quite as nice being out though. It does kind of reflect how you see the golf course and how it's playing.
It just goes to show, by the way, how many phenomenal golf courses there are in Scotland.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
The fact that Crail is 61.
I mean, that's just not even...
You can't imagine there's 60 golf courses in Scotland better.
I'm kind of putting it in my top 5.
I would.
Like, it was that 100%. Good. So, yeah, and I've played a few, you know, I've played probably a lot of the top 50 or 60. That might be a bit ambitious. But anyway, so that was phenomenal. You and me played. We battled it in the wind.
We did.
Our expected scores compared to our real scores were very, very different.
Yes.
So wait to see that. That'll be out in 2 weeks on Friday. And what time, Guy?
Between 3 and 5.
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
Friday. Every Friday for the foreseeable future, till the Christmas at least. So that was epic. And then in between that, sandwiched between that, range night.
Yes, so we did another range night at the St. Andrews Golf Links Academy, I think it's the official name, which is the driving range next door to the old course, literally next door to the 16th fairway. There's a lot of people come down. We had some very good challenges. People took money off you.
Yes.
It was nice. It was exciting.
Like, correctly, they didn't just like, duff me up and
that one guy from Glasgow did.
there were some competitions that we ran and some prizes that we gave away. There were some junior golfers that managed to get a little bit of a giveaway as well, which was cool. The video will be out very, very soon, potentially this week, if not next week. It just the thought, and again, I kind of need to pinch myself at some points in time where if someone has said to me in the whole of a YouTube journey, there'll be one time where you can actually book the whole of St. Andrews driving range out and invite fans and fill it like 5 or 6 people per bay. And we sold tickets. It was free tickets, but we sold out of tickets in 3 minutes flat for 130 guests to come down and hit balls and have challenges. We could have filled that 5 times over. The atmosphere was phenomenal. Getting to meet people, getting to see people from different walks of life. From a lot of students were there as well. A lot of good players from St. Andrews were there as well.
There were some very good golfers.
A real mixture of golf fans as well. So that video will be out soon. It was quite hectic and quite mad, as range nights often are. They kind of take the toll a little bit on my voice, certainly. And this probably explains all of this, probably explains why I might have been a bit run down towards the end of last week and absolutely freezing cold and ended up being quite ill over the weekend. But honestly, the 3 or 4 days we had there in Scotland, I just think it is the best place on earth. I really do.
Speaking of driving ranges, do you believe in karma? Yes, for the sake of the story. So if you're watching this, you might have just noticed Rick's phone slightly moved. Because it would have been a little cut then, wouldn't there? Do you reckon?
I think I touched it.
Did you not? I think you did.
Oh, I did.
You did touch it. Because you had to have a slight error. There was a cut. The camera went off. Anyway, it's back on. So you believe in karma?
I 100% believe in karma.
Yes, thank you. That's a good answer. Well, you remember 2 weeks ago on this very podcast, I mentioned how I'd taken a pair of secondhand golf shoes to driving range to give them away free as a good deed.
And it ended up being a very, very awkward encounter.
Correct. Quite a few people commented on that. They thought it was quite funny, but it's just real life. However, the good news is the karma in the situation is, I mentioned I was at Clark's Golf Centre. Let's be honest, my second favourite range locally behind Trafford Golf Centre. It's close to my heart. They enjoyed a little bit of exposure, albeit kind of, it was in a very jokey manner. I got a free ball card.
Uh-oh.
So I've now got a ball card at Trafford Golf Centre and at Clark's Golf Centre.
Wow.
So I'm going to be hitting balls willy-nilly 6 nights a week, maybe 7.
You have been really up in your practice.
Really up in my practice. So you best watch your back, my friend, because I'm coming soon to break 80.
Wow.
Yeah, but I found that by, what a strange coincidence, that getting balls for free makes me hit more golf balls.
Who would have guessed that?
But you know what's weird? I've actually found that by playing less actual golf, I think I've got better. Because I now would go to the range a bit more, whereas I used to, many moons ago, play 9 holes a bit more, because right. I kind of enjoyed it more. But by hitting more balls, it actually, obviously, it's helped my ball striking. And I find that I'm taking that to the golf course and hitting it better.
I think for you as well, because you'll start to notice, like, time becomes more precious, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like you just jump into Clark's or Trafford takes an hour out of your time. Where obviously, round of golf,
it's a long time.
Many
isn't it?
People listening and watching this know is it's a long, 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 long time. Which we've talked about it on the podcast before. This is where there's got to be this kind of quicker version of golf.
Yeah,
coming soon to an empty space near you soon.
Well, last thing on the driving range topic, we've had a good day, Rick.
Okay.
So if you want your question answered by Rick Shields, a very influential man, which we'll come on to shortly, email us podcast@rickshields.com. So you ready for this one?
Go for it.
Hi, Rick. It's from Anonymous. Let me just move my laptop. Let me just move my laptop so I can read it better. I thought this might be a good one for the podcast. This week, as I was at the range at a pretty nice golf club here in Seattle, I was done hitting golf balls, walking to my car, when I noticed a gentleman walking to his car carrying a range bucket that was 3/4 full of balls still.
Okay.
I thought it was a little odd, as it was raining, and unlikely he was going to the short game area to chip, but didn't consider that he would steal them. As I watched him, he put the bucket of balls in his car, along with his clubs, so I spoke up and said, "What are you doing? Stealing those golf balls?" His response.
Guy.
His response.
Was it Clark?
No. His response, "I'm not stealing them." Which I thought, okay, maybe just changing his clubs or something and he's going to head back to the range. I don't know. Strange. As I packed my stuff into the car, I kept an eye on what he was doing and he packed all of his stuff, closed his boot and made his way to the driver's side door to leave. By this time, I'd pulled out of my car parking spot, but I was still watching him like a hawk.
Wow.
So I reversed my car, at which point he came over to my passenger door. The conversation went something like this. Person who's wrote in, me. "By removing range balls from the property, you are stealing those balls."
Wow.
Him. "I'm coming back tomorrow to hit them, so it's not stealing. I come here 4 times a week. How often do you come here?" Me. This is, by the way, this is actually me.
Why don't we do it? Why don't I be one? Why don't I be?
Okay.
Can I see your laptop?
Let me send you as a WhatsApp then. So we'll have to start this again.
And then I'll act as the other person. Can I act as the thief?
Yes. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did see this weekend, just on a completely different topic. I actually saw somebody feeding a packet of crisps.
Did you?
At a restaurant, yeah. Didn't say anything. Maybe I should have done.
Maybe you should have said
that. Maybe this video. Maybe this
so if you check
email
your
will inspire me.
WhatsApp now. It should come through. So me is me. Okay.
Okay, one sec. All right, me is you. Okay, go.
Okay, so the conversation went something like this. "By removing range balls from the property, you are going to steal those balls."
"I'm coming back tomorrow." I got an AIM drama, by the way. "I'm coming back tomorrow to hit them, so it's not stealing." I'm going to do Seattle. "I come up here 4 times a week. How often do you come here?" It's just like a chat block.
"I am here every week." I'm joking. "I'm here every week. It doesn't matter they are the property of the club. And by removing them from the property, you are stealing them, even though you intend to come back. This club has the right to call the police if they wanted."
The cops. Him. Oh, that's me. "But I am coming back tomorrow, so it's not stealing. Have you seen the Asians come up here?"
What? Careful, he's a bit, yeah, you should have.
"Have you seen the Asians come up here and hit 2 buckets and leave half a dozen behind? Yeah, he went there. Oh, no, this is them hit. He went there as well to try and defend his behaviour, even though I had no idea what this had to do with him stealing balls. So he was racist,
yes,
as well.
Yes, exactly. So in the end, he gave in and returned the golf balls. This was a well-dressed, most likely retired person in a $100,000 car, so not without means. I called him an entitled bleep and then drove off, although I should have called him a racist as well, which he clearly was. Question is, did I overreact or did I do the right thing? I will admit it felt good to get the last word in and call him entitled before driving off. Love the podcast and the YouTube channel. Keep up the great work.
Wow.
Wow. So firstly, the guy does not sound like a nice bloke.
He doesn't at all.
No place in this world for racism at all. But
he definitely did he say have a big expensive car?
He did.
Private license plate, I'm guessing. I reckon
You have got American?
I reckon it would have been like sky blue. Okay. Like a Bentley sky blue. That's okay. My picture.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
He's absolutely bang out of order on every single account. First off, being racist. He's brought that into it. That's totally not needed. And then the fact he's taking golf balls away from a driving range with this idea that he's going to come back tomorrow. The thing you do, you'd end up going, really, a civilized human being would go back to the till and say, listen, I've got a shoe, I've got half a bucket here, can I get a rain check and I'll come back tomorrow and hit the other half? Like, and I'm sure every range would go, yeah, not a problem, sir. Like, thanks for doing that. You know,
that's one way. Or he could have just said to someone next to him, do you want these balls, mate? I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
I've got $100,000 car. I'm not sure a few quid. I'll come back tomorrow and buy some more golf balls.
Yeah, he probably didn't need to say that to the person he's giving balls to, but
you could say I've got $100,000 car. I've got a Rolex. I've got a 25-year-old wife.
So here's some balls.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely bang out of order. I think our listener who has emailed in, I'll be honest, I thought at first he was being a bit pathetic, if I'm first honest. I don't think it's something I would do again. So if someone pinch a packet of crisps this weekend. And I said, I was a wimp. I said nothing, okay? Yeah.
What flavour were they?
They were the teddy bear ones. Pom bears.
Oh, right, wow.
They're for a kid. I know. And it wasn't a kid stealing, it was the adult stealing it anyway. Different topic. So I don't think I would have said anything. I'm glad he did. You just never know what those confrontations might lead into. Do you know what I mean? You never,
for sake of rainbow.
There's a few scary people out there and suddenly, you know, ends up being fighting or worse. But I'm glad you stuck to your morals, and that guy, that horrible guy, was bang out of order. He shouldn't have been stealing golf balls. He shouldn't have been being racist. And I'm sure the next time he plays golf, he's going to shank 5 shots, 3-putt 5 times, and hit a ball straight down the middle of the fairway and lose it.
Yeah, so good advice. And if you want your email read out next week, please email us podcast@rickshields.com. We've kind of had enough of the clickbait titles now, so don't clickbait it, because I'm beyond reading them. So people say stupid stuff. I'll give an example, Rick, of some of the clickbait.
Go on.
Let me find one.
I'll be like, read it.
In fact, no, before I come on to that, actually, we've had an email off James, and he said, hi, guys, I'm watching your podcast, as I often do, and decided that having hats on looks silly. You're inside doing a podcast. If it's a matter of sponsorship, then proudly display the hats on the table, which is always clutter-free. The golf attire looks sharp, but please, hats off while inside. This is your time to respond to that.
You know what? To some degree, I agree with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's...
But why does...
It's not good etiquette, really, to wear hats inside.
Is that... Yeah, but... What?
And you shouldn't wear hats at a table. So I'm breaking all my own morals and rules.
It doesn't offend me at all. I do very much take my hat off in a clubhouse because I never quite know the rules in the clubhouse. But I would never be that bothered about it.
I think there's two things probably what the listener won't know or understand. They totally get it. Is that when I come to work in the morning, I'll often not do my hair because we might go out filming after and I wear a hat. And then if I put a hat on in the morning and then if I took my hat off now, my hat's horrendous. Terrible hat hair, and I've got bad hair anyway, so then therefore I'd have to then style it, and then I'd probably have to put a hat back on in the future. So I just do it for
her logistics.
So I apologize if it offends anybody. I morally, deep down, I understand it, but for the situation that we are, and how do you know we're out, how do you know we're inside?
Yeah,
you can't see the roof. Do you know what I mean?
See the wind.
It's actually got no roof here on the podcast studio, so we're actually outside, so there.
An example of the clickbait we get is an email titled "Rick cursed Jordan Spieth." I'm not going to read it.
I know that. I know what happened.
Oh, what happened?
I cursed him on the 18th tee at the Masters.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm guessing that's it.
Okay. Cool.
I reckon he's watching a highlight of the 2018 Masters.
Yeah.
And I went there with my good friend, and we were stood behind.
Oh, it's exactly that, yeah.
We were stood behind the 18th tee as Jordan Spieth was going on this ridiculous charge, like ridiculous charge. It was me, Randy from Friday's Golf, and my pal Neil. We're all stood there behind the 18th. Jordan Spieth was going on this outrageous charge, chasing down Patrick Reed, and everyone obviously wanted Spieth to win over Patrick Reed. And out of nowhere, Spieth hits this duck hook. It hits the tree. I mean, the 18th tee is super narrow anyway. Hits the tee, drops down. He probably ends up making double or something.
This picture I've got here, when we put it in the podcast as well, if you're watching this, it's got Jordan Spieth in it. And then at the side of the frame, you can see you as well. And you're pulling a face, right? I can only explain as, imagine Rick Shields, right? He's 16 years old, living at home. Sunday morning. He had a few shandies the night before, illegally. And it's 11 a.m. You're in bed still.
Yeah.
Your mum knocks on your door. Richard, yeah. Get up. Why? You've told your nan you'll go and help her clean the garage.
Okay.
This is the face you would pull.
It really is.
Isn't it?
We'll put that in the podcast. It's like, get out of my room. What are you on about? It depends on, because that was a video, and it depends on when the snapshot's taken. Sometimes I seem to pull a lot of multiple faces. I didn't know I was on TV at the time. Multiple different faces in a very short period of time. Like, I look quite angry and disappointed.
Within a second, you could have been smiling.
I'm like that, and then I'm like, I've got another face. Yeah. So yeah, they've caught me at my angry teenage getting out of bed mode.
Put that in the podcast. Before we come on to probably the main topic of today's podcast, one thing I want to run by you and get your thoughts on. So a bit of my own, dear Rick, from me.
Anonymous.
Don't. Is it normal to have? I'm joking. Is it normal for it to be so big?
Is that what I saw in the changing room the other day?
Yeah, it's too long. Sorry.
Is that your toe?
Yeah, my toenail. How do you cut them? Anyway, my question was, Cameron Smith won the Australian PGA.
Yes.
I think it was his third in a row. And I was watching a bit of the highlights yesterday and seeing that he'd won, et cetera, et cetera. And Liv have paid him, I think it's $100 million to play on the Liv Tour, right? And obviously he is now still playing in some of the European, well, DP World Tour events. I'm guessing, certainly with it being his home big tournament on the DP World Tour, and he's the defending champion, he wanted to go and play in that. And as it stands, he's currently allowed to. I'm sure, obviously, the DP World Tour don't want that to continue for much longer with Liv players. But I was trying to think about this. Is there a winner and a loser out of this? Or are they both winners? Now, what I mean is, Liv Golf have paid him $100 million to be on their tour, to represent their tour, to give them a stronger field. Do they really want him going playing on the DP World Tour and elevating their tournament by having like the world number two golfer, arguably the world's best golfer, playing in it when they're paying him to be on their tour? And equally, you know, do the DP World Tour, are they winners or losers in a sense that they have got the second best golfer in the world at their tournament? That should be great. But equally, when there's other tournaments on, he'll just go back off to live and play in the bigger prize fund events as and when he chooses. So is there a winner and is there a loser? Or are they both winners, they both losers?
There is a winner, Cam Smith.
Yeah. True.
Cam Smith is a winner in all of this. As much as he's come out quite open recently about the fact that he has had many sleepless nights. It seemed like he took the decision very easily. Mm. He won the Open, and a few weeks later he announced he'd then signed for Liv. It appeared like he'd kind of taken it in stride, and that's the character he seems to portray. Mm. He's come out recently and said he's really struggled with it, like the decision making and the ramifications after, and how much people would think of him differently. But obviously, doesn't seem to be affecting his golf. He seems to be playing incredible golf still. It was very, very interesting. I didn't watch loads of golf this weekend, but the stuff I saw on social media, it seemed like majority, and it's, I don't have an exact number on this, majority of fans were loving the fact Cam Smith were playing in it. Mm. And I think the Australian fans there were really behind him playing in it. Like, I felt like he got a lot of home support. From what I was seeing online, from social media, I would see that a lot of people were like, brilliant to see Cam Smith, you know, getting out there and playing and winning everything else. There was obvious when he won, there was a bit of a tidal wave of, yeah, but he's a Liv player, he's this. So from his own standpoint, he's in this kind of weird position. But I think overall, he's probably somewhat happy with his decision, I would think. With regards to tours, I don't think Liv have ever come out to say about them being exclusive.
No.
They've always wanted to be this kind of other option. You know, they've never stopped their players playing in PGA or DP World Tour or any other tours. Apart from the fact that when a live tournament is on, they're going to expect their players.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, well, that'll be contractual, yeah.
Of course. But then they open on those other weeks for those players to go out and play elsewhere. That's fine. I think you're right. I think when the DP World Tour looks at it and goes, well, we've had one of the biggest names, I think the only way of being able to find out if that's been worth it is, have the TV viewers gone up? Is there more viewers tuning in because of Cam Smith playing and winning?
You have to think so, but I've not got the stats to hand.
Did they sell more tickets on site because bigger names were playing?
Again, you'd have to think so.
And the last one, did more higher profile players play in the event because Cam Smith played in it? You know, did he actually bring the field up entirely? He didn't just add to the field. Did he almost like the top of the pyramid of the field? And then, you know, and obviously Adam Scott, friend of the channel, played. Minwoo Lee, friend of the channel, played. All obviously Australian guys. Like, was there also another wave of players that may not have played in that event gone, I'm going to play because Cam Smith's playing in this. Yeah. And therefore it's going to get higher world ranking points and everything else, you know.
It's a strange one because in one sense, I can imagine Greg Norman sitting there rubbing his hands together thinking that just shows the dominance of Liv, in a sense that my player from Liv has walked onto the DP World Tour and just won. You think that just shows how good our field are. But equally, like you said, there's a lot for DP World to be enjoying about Cameron Smith playing. Whether there'll be lower ranked players who potentially you could argue like not missed out on a spot because he's the defending champion, he deserved to be there. But equally, if he's joined Liv, should he be told, no, you can't be in the DP World Tour events anymore? And then that space essentially would free up for somebody that might qualify or whatever. I don't know. But I just thought this weekend, I was thinking about it, that I feel like the kind of Liv and the DP World in this isolated situation, just about everywhere, are both winners.
I think there's going to be a conversation to be had early in the year.
Needs to get sorted.
I think before the Masters, it was interesting recently with Rory McIlroy coming out. We didn't speak about it on the podcast because I think we had a guest on, where he came out and basically said, Greg Norman needs to leave. He needs to exit stage left. Whether that's because that stops conversations happening or whether that he feels like he's the biggest kind of, defender in all of this or the main antagonizer. But I do think there needs to be in a room, whether it's the guys behind Liv, whether it's Greg Norman, Jay Monahan and Keith Pelly, need to get in a room and sort this out because it's not working as it is just yet.
It's confusing as a viewer in a way.
Yeah.
Like Cameron Smith goes on wind. I thought he was on Liv.
Yeah. It's all a little bit messy. I think it needs to get resolved before the Masters in April, where obviously the biggest tournament start to begin. Have the Masters come out and said anything yet about whether Liv players can play or not?
I don't think any of them have officially. I don't think any of the majors have they?
I feel like the Open might have said
something
already.
I think they've said no, but they've said that they will not stop Liv players, but they also reserve the right to how they how it's ran, essentially, I think. Right. So I don't know if in round up where they're saying they could in the future. But question for you, slightly off topic, but also very much on topic. You've got £10 in your pocket, okay?
I actually have.
Have you? Get it out.
I've actually got a parking fine too.
I want the £10 on the table, just for make it more real.
I don't know why, just literally a £10.
Just the kind of guy you are. Right, you've got £10 on the table. It's right. Actually there, it's real. It's, let me check. Let's have a look.
It's fresh.
Yep.
Not one of those ones I got off Jones. Off Jones's mate.
You can't tell, mate, honestly. They look exactly the same.
Big Baz.
Ask our Maud. Anyway, right. So, you've got a tenner on the table.
Yeah.
I say to you, tomorrow, Rory and Cameron Smith are playing a match play.
Okay.
The two best players on the planet right now. Who are you putting that £10 on?
Are you... I'll be Cam
Smith. I think I should take it either way.
I'll be Cam Smith. You be Rory.
Okay.
Okay.
In the between. Did you give it to Rory?
No, I'm Cam Smith.
All right, sorry.
I think in that situation, if it's just a heads-up match...
We saw it at the Open, kind of.
I just think Cameron's a bit grittier. Do you know what I mean?
It's sink him.
I think as a full year, if you say who's going to have a better full year, I genuinely believe Rory will do. And I think he's going to win more. But in that match, in that head-on-head match, I just think Cam's got that grit. Mm. Like he seems, like you say, in the Open, the final round of the Open, he seems to just be able to hold it when he needs it. Where Rory just did it. Did you see the story that came out? Actually, Rory came out and said that he caught COVID just a few days before the Open.
No.
And he gave it to Tiger.
What?
I saw it, whether it's real or not. Apparently, he was feeling really under the weather a couple of weeks before, a week or so before the Open. Rang up Tiger saying, listen, mate, I'm feeling bad and blah, blah, blah. He'd played golf with him that same day. Over in Ireland, had a COVID test, he was positive. Tiger rang him up that night and said, yeah, I've got it too.
Oh my, I know why you're not feeling very well. Right, listen to this. Okay. Tiger had COVID, right? Yeah. Rory McIlroy had COVID, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although this was in July, it doesn't matter.
No.
He then gave it to Tiger Woods.
I hear ya.
Tiger Woods gave it to Henny.
Henny
then had it for a while, right? Okay, I'm making things up here, but let's just say she did.
Yeah.
She then gave it to Iona.
Yeah.
Iona gave it to John Rahm. He then passed it back to Iona. You played golf with Iona. Now you've got Tiger Woods' COVID.
Brilliant.
You've got Tiger Woods' COVID. How's that feel?
Brilliant. If there's anyone that's catched COVID off.
Would you pay to get COVID off Tiger Woods?
I think, yeah. Where's that tenner gone? Imagine. Yeah.
Okay, wow. But you're going to be fine. That's just caveat.
No,
okay, so that was the starter and the main course of the podcast, but now's time for the dessert, the exciting part.
Probably what we've maybe even titled this podcast.
There's a little old golf publication over here in the UK. US listeners might not be aware of it, but it's very well known. It's Britain's number one golf magazine, Today's Golfer. So I'll just show you that to the camera. Okay. And they've done a very interesting article this month on both print and digital of the 100 most influential people in golf. And underneath it says, who's had the biggest impact on our game this year? On the front cover, there's six influential people, okay? So we'll start at the top. You've got T-Dub. You've got Tiger Woods.
The big man.
The big man. You've got Rory McIlroy. You've got Lydia Ko. You've got Niall Horan. Of One Direction and now a major player in the world of golf and management and certainly, to be fair to him, making golf a lot cooler to younger people, certainly to a younger female demographic. I think he's done massive things. They've then got Paige Spiranek, who is the most followed. Yeah, that's quite
Instagram.
I think she's the most followed golf account in general across all the platforms. She's huge.
Not on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
Just collectively, Instagram.
Collectively. Just Instagram. Collectively. And then you've got a guy on the front cover, Lyle'd up to the max, Lyle Hart, Lyle Sweater, Shieldsy.
And Scott. Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, so you're on the front cover.
That is a six ball.
That is a six ball.
I've got a theory as well.
Go on.
Okay, all six of us meet, okay, at the old course.
Yeah.
And we go, let's have a match, okay? We need three pairs.
Okay.
So naturally... Rory and Niall want to go together.
Irish.
Of course they are.
Mutual friends.
Do you know
each other. Yeah.
They're going to play together. Lydia and Paige are going to want to play together.
Okay.
Just go with me. Okay. That leaves Tiger just there on his own. and me just there on my own. Yeah. And we kind of look over each other and we kind of give each other the little kind of side anger. Oh, I guess we'll have to be together then, will we, Tiger?
Yeah.
Tiger
Woods. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, me, Tiger versus Rory Nile versus Lydia Page. Wow. Let's make it happen. Old course in reverse.
I like it. Who do you think out of your three balls, if it's you, because of the front cover, we'll put this picture on again in the podcast. The front cover on the left side is Rick, Page and Rory. The right side is Lydia, Tiger and Nile. Which three would win against which three? If it was you, Paige and Rory versus them three.
That's not a bad
because
match,
is it? I'm thinking Rory would beat Tiger at the moment, I have to say.
Yeah.
I think obviously Lydia Ko, no offence, would beat Paige.
So then it's me versus Nile.
But then he deserves a couple of shots. Or does he need the shots?
I'd like to
what's
think
his
he does.
What's his handicap?
I don't know. Higher than mine, I hope. I know I've been playing bad recently. I think we'd just pip it. I think it'd come down to me on the last. Both matches are halved. And it comes down to me on the last
combined
hole,
score, make it better then. Because I see Rory.
And I've got to make birdie up the last at the old course. I pipe it down the left-hand side. Little wedge into about 3 foot. Knock it in and then see my arse and miss it. Yeah. Anyway.
So we actually heard before this came out to print that you're going to be in this top 100. I want hands on heart now. What number would you have settled for out of the 100 most influential people in golf? 2022, what number would you have taken? Rick's just eating his beard.
I've got hair in my mouth.
When Rick's hungry, he's eating his beard. It's really weird. Yeah, okay?
Honestly,
yeah,
I was incredibly honoured to be in the list. Like, you think for a minute about the most, all the golfers, the most influential golfers, to even make it into the top 100, I was blessed with. To put it into perspective, Scottie Scheffler, who's had an incredible year, is 98th in the list.
Wow.
Okay. So for me, I was thinking being in the list is great. And it's very well worked out from what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
It's not just a popularity contest, is it?
No, they've done something. So they've done like a section of how we did it. And basically they've done like equipment design, you can get 10 marks, course architecture, 10 marks. Instruction, 10 marks. Inspiration, 15 marks. Then they've got things about the game. So the financial influence is worth 25 marks. The voice is worth 15 marks. And innovation is worth 15 marks. So I'm guessing, obviously, you wouldn't have got any points for course architecture or for equipment design.
I don't know. Maybe equipment design.
Well, potentially, you've had influence over you. You would have got marks for instruction. You would have got marks for inspiration. You would have got marks for voice. And I suppose innovation's a tough one because you've innovated content, so we can use that. So you've got marks.
It'd actually been quite good to figure out how many points each person got.
Yeah, it would be good.
So then once I was actually at Centre Parks on holiday, and guy rang me and said, there's a list being put together, 100 most influential golfers. They want you in it. They want to do an interview with you. Are you up for it? And I'm like, yeah, as long as I'm in the top 50. No, I'm joking. and guy gave me an idea. You said originally 30th in the list, which I actually couldn't believe. I was like, wow. 30th in the list, and I thought they're probably saying that just to get me doing an interview, and when the actual magazine comes out I'll be like 84th. Okay. Yeah. I never thought I'd be top 50. The magazine came out and it all went out in print and there's some massive names.
Can I give some before you give your number away? Give some. Have you given it away or not?
I don't think so.
No. Okay, so now you said 98 Scottie Scheffler. Okay, we've got number 87 Bob Vokey.
From
Vokey
Wedges.
Number 89 is John Rahm. Number 88 is Scotty Cameron. Number 86, Donald Trump. Okay, so there's some of the ones in the 80s. I'm going to move into a little bit lower down now, a bit more getting closer to where you are. Okay, number 64, Dustin Johnson. Have you heard of him? He plays quite good at golf.
Dustin.
Quite a big hitter.
Oh, yeah.
He won
the
midweek medal last week.
Correct. Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
58, Matthew Fitzpatrick, the current champion of the US Open. Let's find some of the good ones. So we're getting closer now, as you can tell. I've not read Rick's number out. 41, Bryson DeChambeau. Okay.
Okay.
Now get interesting. 34, Paige Spranek.
Wow. Most followed Instagram account in the world of golf.
She's got a nice spread in there as well. There's loads of different articles, like a bit like you did with the interview bit. 31.
Paige spread, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, wow. You're on fire recently. 31, Gary Player. Okay, so now we're starting to really work our way into the big hitters, okay?
We're going sub 30 now.
We're going sub break 30. 29, Bob Parsons, your friend, PXG founder. You've met him, you've had dinner with him. Very influential
number
guy.
Number 27?
is Keith Pelly. He's the chief exec and the CEO of the DP World Tour. Wow. So he's had a very influential year.
Surely we can't be higher than that.
No. Well, yeah. No. You actually can't. You actually are. You are, Young Rick, number 24 in the top 100 influential people in golf 2022. And there you are holding a flag, looking good. You've got one, two, three pages worth of content there. And one of the things I like, one of the little call-outs, is a quote that you gave the interviewer. This is to today's golfer. You'll have an email somewhere from a young Ricky Shields asking if I could feature in today's golfer. I don't know if I ever even got a response.
I didn't.
We'll look at him now, today's golfer.
Oh, three pages now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Thoughts, feelings?
I genuinely, right now, and I post it on social media, I was very, very excited. To be the 24th most influential person in golf. And it's not something I set out to be. I don't wake up every day and go, I want to be influential. But the fact I've been ranked into such a high prestige of 100 of the most influential people, first off, I'm over the moon with, to be 24th and to be, you know, in a list of so many incredible, incredible people from golf equipment design to tour players to governing bodies, governing body CEOs, to many fellow YouTubers. So Pete's in there, Good Good's in there, Me My Golf's in there, Danny Maud's in there, Chris Ryan's in there, Mark Crossfield's in there. So that's really cool as well that so many fantastic YouTubers are in that list as well. It shows that the strength of the platform. And I'll be honest, when I look at the 23 names above me, I cannot argue with it at all.
Well, like, we go for the top 10.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Rory McIlroy. I mean, needs no introduction.
He's probably the only one I'd maybe rank slightly higher.
Yeah. And what he's done for the European Tour, DP World Tour this year.
I think 10 is a little bit, for how much of a voice he's had in the game. But go on, carry on.
Well, and just also on that, in terms of influence, I know sometimes you don't understand it as influence and shifting products, but if Rory suddenly swapped to go and use Callaway next year, that would have a big influence in Callaway sales, I imagine. Yeah. He's one of the few golfers that can sell product.
Change the dial.
Number 9 is Sean McManus, who is a sports media giant and he's now the chairman of CBS Sports in America.
So yeah, you can imagine that's going to have a massive influence.
Number 8 is Mike McCarley, who is the president of golf for NBC, so effectively the head of the Golf Channel. Number 7 is Andrew Giorgio, who is the Warner Bros. Discovery Sports Europe and President Managing Director. So he's, again, in the media world.
So those three there, 9, 8 and 7, effectively distributors, aren't they?
Exactly.
Of golf actual content.
And then number 6 is Chip Brewer, who is the President and CEO of Topgolf and the Callaway brands. So certainly he is helping get new golfers into the game at Topgolf.
Massively.
And obviously established golfers are using the Callaway products. That kind of makes sense. Number 5 is Jay Monahan, who is the commissioner of the PGA Tour. So, again, pretty straightforward one.
Grumble with that.
Number 4 is, I think, Mike Warne. I think you pronounce it. He's the CEO of the USGA and former commissioner of the LPGA Tour. So I'm guessing he's done a lot to obviously grow the women's game, and he's currently CEO of the USGA.
Governing body, rules and everything.
Number 3 now, this is the big one, is Greg Norman. So obviously, we're looking at him as being the LIV Golf Commissioner, but let's not forget he's done a lot in the game before. Whatever your thoughts of Greg Norman are now, some obviously positive, some not so positive, he did a lot in the game of golf before that anyway. But he, right now, 2022, deserved to be there.
I must admit, imagine rewinding time about 12 months and saying there's going to be a list and Greg Norman's going to be 3. You'd be like,
yeah,
what's
happening? You would.
But obviously, what he's done, the kind of face of LIV Golf, and obviously, you can't argue with the presence they've had in the last 12 months.
Yeah. Number 2 is Martin Slumbers, who is the chief executive of the R&A and secretary of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews. But what I was thinking then is, obviously, with that job title, it's clear they've got massive influence, but probably things you don't even think of, and I'm kind of making this up as I go along, I can't confirm this is the case, but when things like in the rules of golf changed about how you can put with the flag in, there'll obviously be a rules committee clearly at the R&A and the USGA, but they will have to get signed off by, I guess, a board and a CEO, etc. So people like him are making decisions on a weekly, monthly, daily basis that affect how people literally play the game.
Yeah, I think he's got all the equipment.
Yeah.
They govern the equipment, rules of golf, participation levels, where money gets spent in the world of golf. Obviously the Open and everything else. Yeah. So I 100% agree that Martin Slumbers should be that high up.
And number 1.
This is quite a shock, actually.
Tiger Woods. I don't really... Try and present me an argument, if you can, of why he shouldn't be.
I can't. No. Literally, I can't. He's the only person, even now, that still moves the dial. If he plays in the tournament, people watch. If he... We saw him play his final hole at the 150th Open at St. Andrews. Nobody draws that type of crowd in. I mean, you had grown men crying their eyes out watching him walk down the 18th hole, walking over the Swilcan Bridge. I mean, it was just... Things like that are iconic. If he... suddenly tomorrow put his name to something, it would sell out. If he brought his own brand of golf ball out, it would sell out. Yeah. If he designed his own golf course, which obviously done, it goes so high up in the popularity.
And I think as well, we're getting to the point now where there's actually some little sound bites from a lot of different golfers. I won't read the actual sound bites out, but let me just read who the golfers are. So you've got Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, DJ, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler and Charles Howell. So that's seven golfers. At least, well, pretty much all of those, in fact, yeah, have grown up watching Tiger play. And it's quite a strange place now where Tiger's kind of peers and his competitors as such, the vast majority have actually grown up idolising him. If you're under the age of 32, 33, whatever it might be, you've grown up respecting him and wanting to be him. So his voice now is even more amplified over his peers. Because back when he was 21, 22, when he was starting to dominate... good as he was, there was still going to be some guys out there who didn't necessarily look down at him, but were like, well, I've done this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing, mate. You know, you're good, great, but yeah. I know what I'm doing. All these guys playing now are looking to him thinking, well, if Tiger says do that, I'm doing that. He obviously very much so pledges alliance to the PGA Tour. And if he had have jumped ship to live, which there's rumours he was offered $1 billion, if he had have done that, that would have changed the landscape of golf incredibly. So yeah. It just shows his influence isn't just on the consumer, it's actually on the elite golfers who are playing on the tours.
I reckon as well, because they asked me in that magazine who is the most... me and my golf got in there as well, sorry. I think if they would have asked me the most 100... If they would have asked... I am getting my words mixed up. They asked me at the end of that interview, who is the most influential golfer? And I clearly, without even taking a breath, said Tiger Woods.
Yep.
I genuinely believe if you asked the other 99 people in that list... I do genuinely believe that all 99 people would have said Tiger Woods is number one.
And I can't really imagine a year how far it would have to be in advance where that's not the case.
No, because how much golf has he played this year? Hardly any. Yet he's still head and shoulders above everybody else. I just think, it will be really interesting to see how long that legacy lasts and what he does with his career moving forward. I mean, it sounds promising that he's going to be playing a little bit towards the back end of the year. He's got his Tiger Woods tournament in Bahamas very, very soon at the start of December. He's then playing in the PNC tournament with his son, Charlie. Yep. Obviously, all eyes will be towards the Augusta and a Masters in April. You know, is he gonna be stronger than ever next year? Is he gonna just have cameo appearances? Is he only gonna play five times? Like, we don't know. But also, what's he gonna do? What is he actually gonna do after all of this? Like, when does he hang it all up? He obviously didn't retire at the 150th Open at St. Andrews, which a lot of people thought. I don't think he's gonna retire anywhere else apart from St. Andrews, mm-hmm. which would be now the 155th Open at St. Andrews in the year 2027. He's still going to be playing golf in that time frame. Yeah. He has to be. How much, how successful, who knows? But I don't think there's any arguing that he is the most and will continue to be the most influential golfer ever that's played the game of golf ever.
And being very humble, I don't think you actually bought this magazine, did you?
No.
This is my gift to you.
Thank you. I thought they were actually going to send me one.
You might do, but that's just, you've Thanks. Definitely got one.
Thanks, mate. Should we put it in the back of...
Yes,
I put my page in the back.
Yeah, let's do that. But last, before we wrap this up, we have got some questions from Facebook. If you are not on the Facebook group, use one word to sum up people who aren't joined yet.
Big Baz. Jones's mate. Yeah. Jones, Big Baz doesn't like golf, and he's like, why do you follow those guys on you? Why are you following that guy?
I think more of a negative word. If you're listening to this now and you're not...
Plonker.
Yeah, bozo. Yeah, so join. Or else you would, yeah. Okay, so the questions are, one from Alex Wilson, and this is kind of a generic one we see a lot, but I'm actually intrigued now it's winter. He has said, what's the best practice drill for the garden? Now, I'm going to put in one caveat on that. You can't say hitting shots into a net because not everyone obviously got space for a net. So what could you do to practice your golf in the garden with limited resources to help you improve this winter?
Great question. I would... practice. That's really hard, isn't it?
Even just swinging, does that, if you've got room to swing, I guess.
I tell you where there was a story one time, and I think I might have shared it on the podcast once before, that there was this prisoner that went to jail for years. And all he did was, he had like a golf club, maybe, just held a golf club, a pretend one, an imaginary one, and just kind of did these slow motion practice swings, trying to get his swing into these kind of positions day in, day out. And he came out and ended up being much better than what he was when he went into jail. Something along those lines. If you've got like a big patio window that you can actually see your reflection, if you can see how you can work on your technique, or whether it's your posture, or whether it's things like ball position or alignment, all those things help. I don't know how committed you'd have to be to do that. I think that's a big ask. I think I'd do it once and go, yeah, that's crap. The other simple one is like trying to set up something. It doesn't have to be hard hits, but even if it's like a bit of a foam area, go with me on this, like a bit of a mattress, and you put three lines in it, and you just practice like little chip shots, like hitting it below the bottom line, through the middle window, and through the high window, just to try and change the trajectory of your wedge shots, even. Yeah. Just something that just keeps your eye in. But I must admit, I do think it's very, very difficult.
It is, and this isn't really answering his question, but one thing I would say that I've seen help with in previous years is if you can just get through, in the winter, obviously, depending if you live near a driving range, but you get to those like now dark, cold November nights, December, January. Just once a week at the range in 30, 40, 50 balls can actually make a big difference. Even if you go with a friend and just share a bucket and just whack a few and have a bit of a catch up, just keeping your swing a little bit looser and fresh does, come the new season, help, I think, anyway.
And you almost want to get into a habit with it as well, don't you? Because then if you know Thursday night at 8, you're going to always go to the driving range. Just that's what you put in.
Even like those silly things, we have a little chipping comp or do like stingers to a crossbar or something. It definitely does help. From Stephen Trousdale, is Rick too hard on himself? I'm thinking he's meaning sometimes during break 75, it doesn't always go your way. Or, because sometimes people say that, but does that help you, do you think? Sometimes you get a bit annoyed. Does that fuel you? Does that fuel you think I'm practice more? I know sometimes if you don't play well, you then want to go to the range or have a lesson. That's fueled you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very difficult to almost separate me playing the golf I play on video, which is 99% of my golf, and actually just playing as a recreational player at a weekend. I think I'd be very, very different. I think my expectation levels of myself are much higher than what I can sometimes deliver, and that frustrates me because I know there's a good golfer in there and there has been a good golfer in there, and when that doesn't come out to play, I get frustrated.
It's strange though, isn't it? Like if you'd not done a run for a month or two and you went to go do a 5K and you're a couple of minutes slower than you used to be, you don't get annoyed at yourself. I don't mean you, I just mean in general. Your reaction is, at least I went today, and I know that I'm not going to be as quick because I've been out of shape or I'm not as fit. With golf, even if you had 2 months off, you don't praise yourself for going back playing. You think, oh, I shot 85 today. I should be shooting 81 or breaking 80 or whatever.
I find, you know, for all the golf balls I've ever hit, I've been playing golf for 25 years of my life. I feel like even if I've not played or practiced, I should still be at a level. And that kind of frustrates me a little bit. But maybe I'm hard on myself. But also, you probably see much more of my emotion on video because it's everything's captured.
Well, and also a bit more behind the scenes, this series of Break 75 versus last series, we've actually made sure the camera's rolling a lot more.
Yeah.
So whereas in the old series, doing much snappier edit, you might hit a bad shot and then the shot's finished up, we then turn the camera off, you might mumble to yourself or look a bit peed off. The camera wouldn't see that. We purposely now keep the camera rolling. Sometimes it's a bit awkward. But it shows that, that side, it's more relatable.
So you probably see more of it this year than you would do last year. It was probably still prevalent.
But you just didn't see it.
I've always been quite I would say an emotional golfer. When it's good, I'm like the happiest person in the world and I'm floating around. When it's bad, I definitely show my emotions on my sleeve. Where you'll see some golfers, a bit like a Dustin Johnson or a Cam Smith, who just look the same all the time.
And I think, unfortunately for you, and I'm in the same boat as you when I say this, that's how you get to really good level, isn't it? By not getting too excited when you make a birdie, but not getting too annoyed when you make a double.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do that, though, when you're so passionate about the game. But that's how those real... It's like if you're a elite footballer and you've got a penalty to win a World Cup final. Obviously, your heart rate's going to be elevated, but you've got to be cool and calm. I'd be hopeless in that situation.
Yeah. I also think that a few people maybe don't quite grasp the fact we are making a video. You know, it needs to be, because loads of people say, don't talk, Rick, and just play golf. I'm like, yeah, but we're making a it sounds like the video, the product at the end of it outweighs the golf
Yeah.
You know, and I think some people may get that a little bit confused. If I just was going out with this mindset of playing better golf, well, no, I wouldn't be videoing every single shot, because that's not reality, is it, for most people? But obviously we're making videos, making YouTube videos.
Darren Fitzsimmons has said, should you be allowed a mulligan for your first tee shot of every round? Hook out of bounds spoils the day before you've even started.
I feel like it's quite common in America for like these breakfast balls. I've never quite understood it. We've never done it here in the UK. I don't think it's a thing.
In America, is it just literally on the first tee?
Yeah, breakfast
I would
ball.
Imagine, right, we're playing and you nail your drive on the first tee and I hit one out of bounds. So I go, I'll have a breakfast ball. I then reload. You then get to your ball in the fairway and shank it out of town. And it's like, oh, you can't do breakfast ball now.
Lunch ball.
Yeah, dessert ball. I like dessert balls.
Yeah, I've never quite grasped it, whether it's just a casual Sunday knock with your pals. But yeah, it's not real golf.
I wouldn't like that, because I think, because I've played golf at such a young age to now, I wouldn't, even if they made a par with my breakfast ball, it wouldn't feel real. It's like, what do you get there, guy? Oh, four. But deep down, no, it's not a four, because I hit another one off the tee.
Asterisk.
Matt Betts has said, and Neil's off camera, so this is one for Neil as well. If Rick starts doing merch, will it be his own brand, Birdie Sauce? Do you like that?
Copyright that. That email never came in.
Birdie Sauce.
What's he called?
He's called Matt Betts. Do you like that?
Thanks, Matt. We're stealing that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, merch hopefully coming soon. We've said it for many, many years, but who knows what the future holds. I mean, the 24th most influential person in golf isn't making merch. There's something wrong.
No.
So, yeah, stay tuned.
For Birdie Sauce merch coming soon. And then Scott Benzi has said, this would be hard to do, but it would be good. Would you ever do a live Break 75?
I don't think it'd be as hard as we think. I think that's doable.
With all the cameras and stuff.
In what way?
Well, like, obviously the different angles we have now. We don't just have one camera.
Oh, sorry.
Running.
You mean an actual live?
It's on YouTube live.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant as in people come and watch it live.
Well, to be fair, you might do, but I took that as it's live on YouTube.
Ah.
Do it both ways. Could you do it live on YouTube, and could you do it live? People could come and watch.
You could definitely do a live come and watch. That wouldn't be too hard to do at all. Whether I'd want to do it is a different question. And then I would say a streaming it live. I feel like you'd need commentators with it, because otherwise there'd be a lot of dead space.
Yeah.
And if not, it's a lot of talking. It's like 4 hours of non-stop you're on. Do you know what I mean? So I think that'd be quite hard.
Yeah. Last question from Guy Charnock. If Today's Golfer were going to expand the list of influential people, how many thousands would it need to be before I get in, do you reckon? Do you reckon 5,000? Next year, Today's Golfer, the top 5,000 influential people of golf. Would I make the cut at 5,000?
I think you'd have a chance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I think people wanted you in this list. The comments were like, when I put it, it was like, oh, that's great, but where's Guy? That's great, but where's Guy? I was
He's 4,897.
I'll just, maybe we've just not seen your name yet. Maybe in the small print somewhere.
No, you know what it is? I don't know that. I got asked to be in it, but it's just not my cup of tea.
No.
I just don't want to be in those kind of lists.
Can't be.
I don't like the word influencer.
What's mad is last Friday, we also did a photo shoot for Golf Monthly.
Yeah.
Print
media's coming back.
All these bloody magazines that didn't reply to my emails,
they're
all now... No, to be honest, Golf Monthly have been very, very good to me. Thanks for listening, everybody. That was actually... You know what? Surprisingly good episode.
Wow. Why are you actually surprised? This was all planned. It was all structured.
Oh.
You just didn't realise it.
Okay. We might be doing a Friday special podcast, which will still be coming out next week. But I've got a little trip away next week, which I'm excited about. And we'll might talk about it a little bit more on Friday.
We'll discuss all the details.
The juicy goss.
And is it gory details? Hopefully it will be gory.
I hope it's not. Guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast channel. A lot of you think you are, but you're not. Let's try and get to 200,000 by the end of the year.
One quick one for next week, if you can be bothered. If you want to go out and buy one of these Today's Golfers, that'd be quite cool. Maybe take a picture of the Today's Golf magazine in the most random place possible. And if you do a good one, we'll share it in the video. So whether that be... those really high toilets in the Shard, potentially.
Love
quite
it.
Quite good.
Yeah.
Top
of the Eiffel Tower.
Swilcombe Bridge would be really good. Name three more places.
Skydiving.
Skydiving with it. That'd be really good.
Snorkeling.
Yeah.
Submarine.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of vehicles. And in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Wow. If it's abroad, I'd be very impressed. Because they don't sell it abroad, do they?
Oh, I don't know.
You could take it on holiday. Yeah, yes, there you go. Yeah, maybe on a plane.
So yeah, pick one up, send a picture. We might share it. We might completely forget for next week.
No, anyway, we won't forget. We won't forget.
Thanks for watching, listening. Make sure you're subscribed, and we'll see you next week for the next episode. Bye, Jonesy. Have a good Friday, Jones.
Great, mate.
See you, Martin.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.